Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a jungle-style Ghost Note riser inside Ableton Live 12, and the goal is not just to make a sweep or a generic buildup. We want something that feels like it belongs in drum and bass. Something rhythmic, a little gritty, a little sneaky, and full of bounce. If you've ever heard a transition in jungle or DNB that feels like the drums are starting to talk before the drop, that's the vibe we're chasing. We're using tiny percussive hits, ghost notes, filter movement, a little saturation, some space, and smart arrangement choices to create tension without losing the groove. So let's get into it. First, set your tempo in a DNB range. A good starting point is 174 BPM, but anywhere around 170 to 178 works depending on the flavor you want. Lower in that range feels a little heavier and darker. Higher feels tighter and more urgent. Now create a few tracks. You'll want one drum track for your ghost note source, one optional noise track if you want extra lift, and if you like, a return track for shared reverb or delay. We're keeping the setup simple and beginner-friendly. Next, choose your source sound. For this style, the best source is short and punchy. Think rimshot, tiny snare tap, closed hat, woodblock, short tom, or even a chopped fragment from a breakbeat. If you're unsure, start with a rimshot or a short snare tap. That makes it easier to hear the rhythmic shape and process it clearly. Drop that sample into simpler. Keep it in classic mode and set trigger to gate. If the transient feels too sharp or clicky, move the start point slightly forward. The idea is to keep the sound tight and controlled. We do not want a long sample here. We want little rhythmic sparks. Now let's build the ghost note rhythm. Open a one-bar MIDI clip and place a few notes in a pattern that feels alive. Start with a stronger hit on the downbeat. Then add quieter ghost notes on offbeats and near the end of the bar. A simple shape could be a strong hit on beat 1, ghost notes around the middle, then a little cluster at the end to create forward motion. The important thing here is velocity. This is where the ghost note feel really comes to life. Let your main hit sit around 90 to 110 velocity, and your ghost notes drop down much lower, maybe 20 to 55. That contrast is what makes the pattern breathe. If every note is the same volume, the whole thing starts sounding flat and mechanical. And here's a little teacher tip. Don't make all your ghost notes identical either. Vary a few velocities. Let one or two hits feel a tiny bit softer or stronger. That tiny human variation goes a long way in jungle and DNB. Once the pattern is in place, add some groove. This style loves swing and push-pull movement. You can use Ableton's groove pool and try a subtle swing preset, or manually nudge a couple of notes a little late. Keep it light. We want bounce, not sloppy timing. A little swing in the 54 to 58% zone is a good place to start. Now we shape the sound. Put an EQ 8 first in the chain. High pass the sound somewhere around 120 to 200 HC so it doesn't fight the kick and sub. Then listen carefully. If the sample feels harsh, dip a little in the 3 to 6 kHz area. If it needs more presence, give a gentle boost around 1 to 2.5 kHz. For a riser like this, we usually want the energy in the mid-range and upper mids, not in the low end. Next, add auto filter. This is where the riser starts to feel like it's opening up. Set it to a low-pass filter. Start with the cutoff fairly closed so the sound feels muffled at first, and then automate that cutoff upward over 1, 2, or 4 bars depending on how long your buildup is. A good starting point is around 300 to 800 HC at the beginning, then opening all the way up toward 10 to 18 KHC by the end. Add a little resonance too, somewhere around 10 to 25%, just enough to give the sweep some bite. This contrast between dark and bright is one of the simplest and most effective ways to make the ghost note idea feel like a real transition. Now as saturator. Ghost notes are small, so they can disappear in a busy drum and bass mix. A touch of saturation helps the transients cut through and gives the sound a little attitude. Try 2 to 6 dB of drive, turn on soft clip if needed, and match the output so you're judging the sound fairly. If it gets too crunchy, back off the drive and let the filter and EQ do more of the work. After that, add echo or delay for a little motion. Keep this subtle. You don't want a giant washy trail that smears the rhythm. Try short note values like 1/8 or 1/16, low feedback, and a low wet mix. Filter the repeats so they sit behind the main hit instead of crowding it. This kind of delay can make the phrase feel like it's tumbling forward, which is perfect for rolling jungle energy. Then add reverb. Again, keep it controlled. We want space, not fog. A decay anywhere from about 1.5 to 4 seconds can work, but the wet amount should stay fairly low, maybe 5 to 15%. If the reverb gets too bright or too long, it will blur the groove and steal impact from the drums. In darker DNB, a shorter, darker reverb often feels more powerful than a huge, shiny one. If you want extra lift, you can add a noise layer. This is optional, but it's a really nice trick. Make a second track with white or pink noise, or use a noise source and operator, analog, or simpler. Filter it, saturate it a little. Maybe add a bit of reverb, and automate the filter opening over time. Keep it low in the mix. Its job is to support the ghost notes, not replace them. Now we start thinking like an arranger. A good DNB transition isn't just a sound, it's a moment in the track. A simple two-bar version might start sparse and dark in the first bar, then get brighter and busier in the second bar, with a final half-bar peaking before the drop lands. A four-bar version can build more gradually, minimal at first, then more note activity, then more filter opening, then a strong final bar that cuts cleanly into the next section. And that brings up one of the most important coaching points in this lesson. Leave space for the drop. If your riser runs right into the kick and snare without breathing room, it can blur the impact. Sometimes the most powerful thing you can do is cut the riser sharply right before the drop. A tiny gap or a sudden stop can make the next hit feel huge. Automation is where this really comes together. If you're a beginner, don't overcomplicate it. Start with just two or three things: filter cutoff opening, a little more reverb toward the end, and maybe a slight level or saturation increase on the final hit. That's already enough to create a convincing build. You do not need to automate every parameter at once. In fact, too much motion can make the idea feel messy instead of focused. For a stronger final moment, duplicate the last ghost note or make the final hit slightly louder. You can also nudge the pitch up a little on the very last note, or add a reverb swell leading into the drop. Even a tiny pitch rise can create that sudden feeling of urgency. That last accent is often what turns a decent build-up into a memorable one. Let's talk about a few common mistakes so you can avoid them early. First, don't make the riser too loud. If it competes with the snare or the main lead, it stops feeling like a ghost note to tail and starts becoming noise. Second, don't drown it in reverb. That can wipe out the rhythm and make everything muddy. Third, always high-pass your percussive risers so they stay out of the kick and sub-range. And finally, don't forget the groove. This is drum and bass, so even a riser should feel like part of the drum language, not some unrelated cinematic effect pasted on top. If you want a darker or heavier flavor, here are a few easy upgrades. Use rimshots, metallic licks, chopped break fragments, or tom ticks as your source. Add light distortion with saturator, drum bus, or pedal if you want more grit. Try layering a tiny, filtered break slice under the main pattern to make it feel more authentic to jungle. And remember, in darker DNB, control depth usually works better than huge wide space. Here's a great practice exercise for you. Build a two-bar ghost note riser using just one rimshot sample, simpler, EQ8, auto filter, saturator, and reverb. Program 6 to 10 notes total. Make half of them ghost notes with low velocity, and automate the filter from dark to bright. Then add a touch of saturation and a small amount of reverb. Bounce it to audio, and listen to it in context with drums and bass. After that, make two versions, one subtle and rolling, and one heavier and more aggressive. Compare which one feels better before a drop. The big takeaway here is this: the best DNB risers often feel less like effects and more like the drums evolving. That's the trick. Think in layers. Let the percussion pattern do one job, let the filter do another, let the ambience add depth, and let the arrangement decide when the tension peaks. Keep the ghost notes believable, keep the movement intentional, and always judge the sound in context, not just in solo. So now it's your turn. Build the idea, automate it, bounce it, and hear what it does inside a reedle drum and bass section. Once you start thinking this way, you'll find that even tiny percussive details can create serious energy. And that is where the jungle magic starts.